clearly showing that God has a sense of humour in all things. And knowing also that, as you see from this, the weird and wonderful, the case for intelligent design. So it's going to be a little interactive this morning, I hope. So I should be asking some questions, and we're going to be looking at some videos taken from the BBC and others, which I hopefully will find of great interest. So to begin with, I would just like to ask, for example, if you can see these creatures here and know what they are. For example, does anybody know what this one is?
Archerfish.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody know what that one is? Well, you're going to find out. It's a kind of worm and the defense mechanism, in fact, not only that, but how it catches its prey is absolutely amazing. And it astounded me when I first saw this. And there, what's that one there?
Weaverbird.
Which bird?
Weaverbird.
Well, you're not far off. The weaverbird does things slightly different. But this is the tailor bird, because it stitches up everything, as you can see there. It's amazing how it does this. The weaverbird is very similar, but rather than using leaves like this one here does, the tailor bird, it takes grasses and weaves them together. But this one here actually stitches the leaves together to make the nest. What about that one there?
Bombardier beetle.
Which, sorry?
Bombardier beetle.
Bombardier beetle. Yes, thank you, Jeff. That's true. Well, we know what the other one is, of course. It's the eye. We're going to be looking at not only the DNA structure, but just a remark, just to let you know that I have no qualifications whatsoever in the science industry at all. It's just simply the things that have appealed to me that's helped me to appreciate the wonders of creation. The double helix there, something that's in all of us, and it's truly an amazing structure, as you're well aware of. In fact, it's all that's necessary in there is that it puts humans together, that puts animals together, whatever the case may be. Some of you are more familiar with it than I am. And this is, just looking at one or two scriptures here, I've only got a couple that I'm going to put up, rather than put up too many scriptures. It's in Job chapter 12, and it's from the Voice Translation. And I found this of interest here. However, call on the animals to teach you. The birds that sail through the air are not afraid to tell you the truth. Engage the earth in conversation. It's happy to share what it knows. Even the fish of the sea are wise enough to explain it to you. In fact, which part of creation isn't aware, which doesn't know the Eternal's hand has done this? His hand cradles the life of every creature on the face of the earth. His breath fills the nostrils of humans everywhere. Isn't that an interesting translation concerning the works of God's fingers? In fact, our next particular verse here speaks of this in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. His invisible qualities are clearly seen from the world's creation onward, because they are perceived by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godship, so that they are inexcusable. And here's one from the Psalms. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book, isn't it the DNA he's talking about here, all the information necessary, they were all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. It's clearly incredible what the scriptures tell us and how it can help us to grow in faith and understanding of God's word. Now, I'm just going to look at some things that people have said, not only from Albert Einstein, but from Darwin, but even from Dawkins himself. They really shoot themselves in the foot sometimes, some of these guys. Albert Einstein is famously quoted as saying, "The common belief that I am an atheist is complete rubbish. Whoever interprets that from my scientific theories, God clearly hasn't understood them. The most comprehensible thing about the world is its comprehensibility. God doesn't throw dice. These remarks were made in an article he wrote entitled Physics and Reality in 1936. It was a response to a great debate that had been raging in academic circles for decades. Can a scientist believe in God, or is he obliged to accept the God-dishonoring theory of evolution? Isn't that interesting? So these men who ought to know, really. And here's Darwin. The functional design of organisms and their features would therefore argue for the existence of a designer. And of course, then you've got Dawkins, who says something similar. Biology is the study of complicated things that give the appearance of having been designed for a purpose. And that's from his book, The Blind Watchmaker. Right, let's get on to some of the other things that I've got up here. We can see what that is, the bees. In fact, I am a beekeeper, and I collect swarms. It's been the swarming season over the last month or two. And that's very similar to something I collected not long ago. It was in an old folks home, and it was on the end of a branch like that. I had no way of getting up to it because my ladder, she's got to be against the trunk of the tree. I wouldn't do that because it was way out on a limb. It so happens there was some builders working there and they had a cherry picker. So I said, can I borrow that? Certainly. So he lifted me up, and I was having my secretaries and was able to collect those bees. There's about 20 odd thousand bees there, believe it or not, shining in the queen. I was able to cut it, take it down, and then shake them into the box and cover the box over. That's how you collect a swarm. Just going on to a little bit more about bees. Does anybody know how bees breathe? Maybe a little. Yes, they do, truly.
Is it through their abdomen?
Yes, they do. What, very good, yes. And do you know how many eyes they have? Anybody want to guess?
Eight.
Bees, instead of having lungs, have a system of tubes which carry oxygen to and carbon dioxide away from the cells. This system of breathing tubes is connected to the outside world by a series of holes called spiracles. And there you can see them there. That's how they breathe. They don't have lungs like we do, but breathe through. Isn't that amazing when you think about it? If evolution were true, how long did it take for them to think, well, no, I need to breathe some entirely different. How am I going to do this? Would it take them, well, if it takes millions of years, as they say, well, goodness gracious me, they wouldn't have survived, would they, really? I don't think so. Look at and concerning the eyes, they have five eyes. The three ocelli are simple eyes that discern light intensity, while each of the other two large compound eyes contains about 6,900 facets and is well suited for detecting movement. In fact, honeybees can perceive movements that are separated by 1/300,000th of a second. Humans can only separate movements separated by 1/50th of a second. Were a bee to enter a cinema, it would be able to differentiate each individual movie frame being projected. That's amazing, isn't it? Well, just imagine if we could do that, that would be something, wouldn't it? But here we are, it had to work right from the very beginning. And if it didn't, then how on earth could they have evolved something so complicated as we see here? Now we're coming on to the next one, which is to do with the bombardier beetle. Well, here we are. We'll watch a video clip of this in just a moment. But this is just giving you an idea of how the bombardier beetle works. We've got those chambers there, which are two different gases mixed and gives that explosive gas of 212 degrees Fahrenheit. It's a point of boiling water, or probably more, whatever the case may be. It's something to protect itself from its enemies. Now, if you just imagine if they tried to develop that according to theory of evolution over a period of time. The times they would have blown themselves up to determine how it works and how it's got to come together in the way that it does. It would never have survived. It has to work right from the very beginning. And this is why we can see it is weird and wonderful, and it's humorous as we see the wonders of all these things. Now we're going to watch a little clip now. of the bombardier beetle. We can see it there.
But the master of chemical warfare is the bombardier beetle. It can create a chemical reaction within its body so violent that boiling caustic liquid explodes out of its abdomen. By pulsing the jet 500 times a second, it keeps its rear end just cool enough to prevent it being caught.
Isn't that marvellous? It truly is. Now that's the one. And now here we go to the tailor bird here. Has to be right from the very first time. Could not spend thousands of years slowly learning how to sew leaves together. Birds do not learn how to build nests anyway, they do it by instinct. Each new generation knows exactly what to do because they were created that way by God. And here's another clip, you'll see a tailor bird. Hope this one works. Yeah. Truly amazing. Makes one makes you laugh, doesn't it, when you see these marvellous things. And now we're coming to the archer fish. Again, it's truly amazing how they're able to accurately shoot their water there from their mouths to get their prey. Just notice this next documentary. Let's look at this first. Take a closer look at the weird and wonderful life of the archer bird and the incredible velvet worm that we saw just now in this great video from BBC Animal Show of Weird Nature.
While some use vicious weapons to dispatch prey, others employ the finesse of a marksman. The archer fish uses a water pistol. It makes a gun barrel by pressing its tongue against a groove in its mouth. It closes its gills to force out the water. It's accurate up to 2 meters. This expert in ballistics even allows for the curving of the jet through gravity. And adjusts for the way light bends at the boundary between water and air, which appears to shift the position of its target. By some amazing computation, It changes its firing angle to compensate for this optical illusion. Archers target anything that moves or glows. The velvet worm employs even deadlier firepower. One of the oldest invertebrates, its shooting style is unique. Like a gunslinger, it has two pistols. They fire lassos of glue. The threads snake up to a meter. Its glue guns weave from side to side to spread their fire. The strands glue down the victim like a sticky net. This rapid adhesive dries in seconds. The velvet worm's knife-like jaw pierces its victim before sucking it dry.
Seen anything like that before? Mm-hmm. I certainly have. That's right. Just gonna have a look at the eye now. Human eye works by some 40 different parts functioning together. If just one of these is not present, the eye will serve no purpose. Each of these 40 parts has its own individual complex structure. For instance, the retina at the back of the eye is made up of 11 strata above right. Each of which has a different function. The theory of evolution is unable to account for the development of such a complex organ, and that's true. It's the same for the ears. If it took millions of years for man to develop in the way that he did, then he must have been blind and deaf for millions of years before he actually developed the ability to see and hear. So it has to work right from the very beginning, doesn't it? It's the marvellous eye. Let's have a look at some statistics here. The eye has more than 2 million working parts. The human eye is capable of seeing at a resolution of 576 megapixels. Corneas are the only tissues that don't require blood. The eye can process 36,000 bits of information an hour. The eye blinks 10,000 times a day. Did you know that? That's a low estimate. I've seen 20,000. Perhaps it depends on how late they stay up at night. I don't know. But if you want to try it out, start counting now. Under the right conditions, the human eye can see the light of a candle at a distance of 14 miles. The eye can see 2.7 million different colours. The eye has about 12 million photoreceptors, light-sensitive cells. The retina contains 130 million rods for the night vision and 7 million colour-sensitive cones for day vision. That's really what you call a wonderful world. Now, I'm going to finish now, because I think what we've seen is something to think about. Do you like Louis Armstrong? Do you? Well, it's all part and parcel of this mind. So I have to do it. It doesn't seem to work on the PowerPoint, but I'm going to do it this way. And then what I should do, I should sit down, and Brother David, and then we'll conclude. Surely it's a wonderful world, isn't it? Brother David.